broken ankle. But should you succeed, you will find your blaster just here on the rim. He made a point of setting the weapon down. The most dangerous of the carrion's predators don't appear until nightfall. They'll sniff you out and, well, suffice it to say, you don't want to loiter down there. Of course, even if you manage to get out, it's a long way to the edge of the escarpment. He paused in thought, then added, I'll have Jova park your speeder at the base of the plateau. Should you make it off Iriadu alive, look me up, and I'll reconsider what I said about Geonosis.
Tarkin, Tella said, you will die horribly because you deserve nothing less. The more you try to coerce the disadvantaged to play by your rules, the more they will rebel. I'm not the only one.
You're hardly the first to prophesize my demise, Captain. And I could certainly make an equally dire prediction about your death. Because here you are, trapped in a deep hole and crippled. And that's precisely where I intend to keep the others of your ilk. Teller smiled with his eyes.
Then if I can escape, the rest will.
Tarkin returned the look. That's an interesting analogy. Let's see how it plays out in real life, and in the long run. Until then, farewell, Captain. Jova stood up as Tarkin approached, gesturing with his stubbled chin to the hole. Broken ankle or no, he seems capable enough to escape. Do you want me to keep an eye on him? Perhaps provide a hint or two of the lay of the land to better his chances? Tarkin stroked his jaw. That might be interesting. You be the judge. And if he makes it down off the plateau in one piece and to his speeder? Tarkin mulled it over. Learning that he's actually at large will keep me on my toes. Jova smiled and nodded. A good strategy. We are never too old to learn new tricks.
The epicenter of a bustling throng of construction droids, supply ships, and cargo carriers, safeguarded by 4-star destroyers and twice as many frigates, the Deep Space Mobile Battle Station hovered in fixed orbit above secluded and forbidding Geonosis. When viewed from mid-system, or from even as close as the asteroid belt that further isolated the planet from celestial interchange, one could be fooled into believing that the irradiated world had added another small moon to its collection. Still youthful, the spherical station had yet to grow into the features by which it would be recognized a decade on. The northern hemisphere focus lens frame for the superlaser was scarcely more than a metallic crater. The Quadanium hull, a mere patchwork of rectangular plates, so that one could see almost to the heart of the colossal thing. The sphere's surface city sprawls and equatorial trench might as well have been dreams. By the time Tarkin arrived, at the conclusion of his travels through the outer rim systems, some of the hyperdrive components had been installed, but the station was far from being jump-ready. Nevertheless, work on some of its array of sublight engines had recently been completed, and those were ready to be tested, if only to determine how well the globe handled. The project's chief scientists and engineers had taken Tarkin on a tour of finished portions of the station that had lasted a week, and yet he still hadn't seen half of it. From the interior of a repulsor lift construction craft, his guides had pointed out where the shield and tractor beam generators would be installed. They had laid out their plans for housing a staff and crew of 300,000. They had described gun emplacements, mooring platforms, and defensive towers that would stipple the gray skin. Tarkin was in his glory. If he felt at home on the bridge of a star destroyer, here he felt centered. The station was a vast technoscape, ripe for exploration, an unknown world awaiting his stamp of approval and his mastery. While most of the construction work was done in micro-G, omnidirectional boosters supplied standard gravity to a large cabin space near the surface, that would one day become the overbridge, with designated posts for Tarkin and various military officers. A conference room featuring a circular table, a holonet booth dedicated to communicating with the Emperor, and banks of large view screens. There, in the company of the station's designers and construction specialists, Tarkin gave the order for the sublight engines to engage. A faint shudder seemed to run through the orb, though Tarkin thought that the vibration could easily be the effect of exhilaration, coursing through him in a way he hadn't experienced since his teenage years. Then, with almost agonizing sluggishness, the battle station began to leave its fixed orbit. Ultimately, it surpassed the speed of the planet's rotation, emerging from the shadow of Geonosis and moving into deep space. This is Ewan Morton. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of Star Wars, Tarkin, by James Luceno. This program was directed by Scott Sherritt, executive producer Aaron Blank. Star Wars, Tarkin, is a production of Lucasfilm Limited and registered or trademarked where indicated. Copyright 2014, all rights reserved, used under authorization. Music composed by John Williams. Music publishing by Warner Tamerlane Publishing Corporation and Bantha Music. Music master production copyright 2007, Lucasfilm Limited. This has been a Penguin Random House audio presentation. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.